Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show, and tonight, I'm going to start off with a speculation, an intriguing thought, provoking thought, hopefully. What if SETI, Sasquatch, was a type of zombie technology from another era of time? What if? What if that process of creating super soldiers and genetic engineering and a whole host of nano or AI exploitation of the genetic code of life created the zombie of the day? What if? What if, I'm going to give you a lot of what ifs tonight. What if these zombificated technologies were purposely placed outside the perimeters of the civilized world, either respectively, wherever you live? What if Northern Canada had a contingency of zombified creations purposely put in the northern perimeter to contain any kind of escape or any kind of reprieve? What if the same was said about Russia? You know, what about in Afghanistan when they found a 20-foot giant that wiped out a platoon of soldiers? What if this was another type of genetic exploitation of a type of zombie of another time and era? Now, you can argue that what I'm saying is Nephilim technology, satanic shit, whatever you want to call it. And I would agree with you. I would agree with you 100%. This technology that I'm talking about, this speculation I'm referring to and referencing, is from another theme, another dark time. You know, I forget antiquities. The time of antiquities was a time when there was evil on the planet like never before. And shit was being done, even back then, that would rival or surpass what we're doing today. I would say the level of evil malcontent is on the same bar, same level of disgust. And I'm trying to get you to open your mind a little bit, not necessarily a lot. It doesn't take much, really, to scratch at this a little bit and see that with the right genetics, I mean, we're being entertained with it all the time. Marvel talking about Captain America, you know, a genetic specimen, a 97-pound we can turn into a super soldier, an unstoppable force through manipulating peptides, nucleotides, and radiation, altering and reprogramming the DNA to process and produce in the body what's required to engineer that structure. Now, what if this was done already? And what if watching these zombie movies was an actual clear indication that technologies like this was already done? When you listen to some of the writers in the past, in the last 50, 60 years, and you read about producers that were producing movies in the earlier times, black and white, Marvel writers were talking about they got a lot of their stories from the Book of Jasher and the Book of Enoch and some of the other Old Testament stories, and they modified the theme, which would indicate historically there has been some kind of genetic manipulation, some kind of science that was around a long time ago, and maybe it never really went away. It just stayed underground. And now it's back. It's back, you know, and back with a vengeance. And maybe we're heading back into the time of antiquities again. It sure sounds like it, and it sure seems like it. Tonight I was in a 3-hour conference call with a group of people out in the Midwest, actually all over North America, because the invite was open to everybody. We did post it on the last show. And it was a pretty robust group. We're talking about different things. We're talking about all kinds of things, from nanotechnology to genetics to the current themes going on, government progress, progression in getting us into an authoritarian system. And it was an interesting dialogue because it seems like this is on everybody's mind. Nanopoisoning, nanobiotech, genetics, nanogenetics, frequencies, frequency activation, frequency programming, transmissions to technology causing problems. We have never, ever had so many things go wrong with our health. Even when you look at 50, 60, 70 years ago, when the pollution was so bad with these industries that were existing at that time, no filters, no scrubbers, just shit going in the air. All those ultrafine particles that were then going on, causing all kinds of cancers, all kinds of diabetes, all kinds of respiratory issues, all kinds of head injuries, all kinds of birth defects, all kinds of, you know, breakdown. The medical establishment then couldn't do much. They really couldn't. And the alternatives came into play. Now, nothing's changed, except now the medical field is causing the problems. Causing things to, you know, show themselves as toxic, show themselves as a problem, show themselves in ways that they have no answers. They created a problem. They're creating the health issues that are going on today, right now. And then they're creating a non-solution. Have a drug. Have a pill. This will make you feel better. And we're even talking about suicide. Why is it that the suicide rates are so high? Well, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Okay, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there used to be a saying that you could live so many hours without faith, so many hours without, you know, love, but you cannot live without hope. Can't live without hope. So I'm saying what's happening is people are getting and feeling that they are in a state of hopelessness. And since they are not seeing any way out, they're dying. Committing suicide, whatever. And people are capitulating to follow the format that the governments have instituted in regarding to getting these injections without any consideration to the consequences. Because I think for the most part, a lot of them don't care because they don't see an out. And the interesting thing about it all is there was always an out and still is. But the vast majority did not take up the opportunity to do what was needed to do. Instead, they all saw that there was no hope. So they decided to accept the solution that the governments of the world, who are all guilty of planeticide, have given. They have decided that this was what they were going to do. This is what they were going to accept because they saw no hope. And the reason why people don't see hope, a lot of it, is because a lot of times people don't go through anything in life to create the essential foundation required to develop hope. You can't grow and you can't develop unless you have had and felt some kind of adversity throughout your life. It's the way it works. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, you know. And when you are put in a position of adversity, you have one of two choices. Give up, die, or fight. With the hope, by some slim chance, you might win. Now, I'll be the first to say this. Some of you are saying this doesn't sound right, but I'm going to say this. We are in a hopeless fight. And I'm saying that straight out. Because the odds of us pulling this off, the odds of us winning, is really, really, really slim. But we all fight with the hope that we could somehow turn it around. Now, myself personally, my fight in this and my reasons for fighting in this and the hope that I'm fighting in this is not that we're going to be able to turn it around. I don't see that. Myself, I don't see it. My hope is that we can create a contingency of people that will work together to establish some kind of system somewhere whereby we may one day develop the means to turn things around or turn things over. We can fight. We can send protests. Protests, like as I stated before, do not do much. They don't. The one good thing about a protest, though, is this. It does inspire hope. It inspires connections, inspires bonds, inspires friendships. And this, in of itself, inspires hope. When you're in a fight, like we're in, and we're fighting a systemic disease called government, and they have all the access to just about anything they need, media, money, corporations, institutions, medical, propaganda machines, I mean, you name it, we are literally fighting a Goliath here. And we're having the hope that if we take the sling and sling it real fast with a rock, that when we let it go, that we can put it between their eyes and drop them to their knees, drop them to the ground, and decapitate the disease called government. That's the hope. Because in that hope, then we have the perspective of a renewed, improved, rebuilt system that is designed to be equitable and fair and prosperous. That's the hope, right? That's what we're all hoping for. So, I'm saying this tonight not to discourage anybody. I still have hope. Yeah, I do have hope. I have hope that the people I'm with are going to stand up and unite. I have hope that even if we do lose the battle, that we will regroup and form whatever we need to form community-wise and establish our own system, even if it's not seen, even if it's buried somewhere. I have that hope. I have that hope that we will one day, come back stronger and better than ever. I do have that hope. So I fight because I think, my humble opinion, that we have a fight worth fighting for, and that's for each other. That's my hope, that we fight for each other. Win, lose, or draw, we fight together, we stand together, or we fall together. That's the hope. And that we can be innovative enough to create a solution or solutions on multiple levels in whatever way we go. That's the hope. That's a good hope. That's actually a very positive message, really, that we have a unified group of people with the ideals to establish and reestablish and to be innovative enough to come up with real good solutions. I think that's a really good hope. I'm presenting this because we don't need to see any more people committing suicide over a government's actions creating these fears. You know, I think we need to be inspirational in the hope that we can at least work together and form bonds with each other. That's a good hope. That's something that's worth striving for. I personally would like to see these governments gone. All of them. I don't care which one they are. But that ain't going to come anytime soon. I'm also a realist. I'm also pragmatic here. What I do see, though, is that in the progression of our own growth and our own development in regarding to having a hope that this will be inspirational to everybody and encourage everybody to be inspirational, to help each other. When we're looking at where we're all at different levels, economically, health-wise, environmental-wise, whatever the situation may be, we are all coming from different backgrounds, and we all have our challenges, all of us. But the biggest challenge we have is to lose ourselves in this quagmire. That's the biggest challenge that we have. Not getting lost in it, not getting caught up in the program, in the propaganda. That's the challenge. We may not, like I said, have $1 million. We may not have a bazooka. We may not have a tank. We may not have a drone, a killer drone. Killer drone. I'd like to have about 100 of those right now, but that's my dream. I have a dream. Kind of playing with words there. But we do have each other. And in that concept, we have the ability to stimulate each other to ideas, stimulate each other to building, stimulate each other to healing, stimulate each other to educating and informing and exemplifying what we need to do in order to build. We all have our gifts. We all have our talents. We all have our abilities. None of them are diminished by no stretch of the imagination. And don't think for one minute you're not glorified because you can't do something that somebody else can do. Remember one thing, and remember this well. Nobody, and I mean nobody, had gained something by not first investing time and effort into whatever they've learned. Nobody. Some people have a natural gift to pick up things quick. Some people don't have that capacity. They have to struggle through it. But the thing about struggling through something is you begin to see things that most people don't see that just buzz right through. And when you see certain things, you can then modify things even more so. You can even broaden your horizons more. There's always give and take in everything. Always remember that. No matter how gifted I am, there's things I'm just not good at. Matter of fact, I'm very shitty at. Like drawing cartoons. I'm not good at drawing. My idea of drawing is stick people. Draw a line, another line, another line. Hey, there's an arm, a torso, and some legs. in a circle. That's my idea of drawing. That's about the extent of my capacity to draw. Now, other people can draw a mosaic piece of art, you know, a masterpiece. See, and I think that's great. I really do. I think, wow, you can capture what's in your head on a canvas or on a piece of paper and really make it look real or have a, give it a realistic a look to it. I think it's great. You know, there are things that I see people who are artists that when they do things and I see their creative mojo going, I think it's interesting to watch sometimes. Like, wow, they actually just out of, you know, whatever, did this, did that, and they just were able to put it, they were able to create an abstract out of nothing and put it on something solid. That, to me, is amazing. It really is. And I'm saying this because everybody has a talent. All the talents may not always be needed at the same time, but nonetheless, if you have a talent, it has a place and it has a use and it has a need to be used. So like I said, that's a hope. In that, that's my hope, because that to me indicates that there are people that will come together with different concepts, ideas, experiences that can put together something and manifest something that would be phenomenal. That's a hope, see. And that's how I'm trying to present this tonight. I'm just coming out tonight with thinking and thoughts, speculation, preparation. You know, whenever you have a goal, you're going to buy a house. Just go with buying a house, buying a car. So you got to sit there and figure out, okay, what's it going to cost me to buy that car? What's it going to cost me to buy that house? Then you got to figure out, what's it going to cost me to run that car? What's it going to cost me to run that house? And then you have to start figuring out all these details and what the cost is going to be in order to achieve the, you know, the objective of getting whatever you're going to get. And then you have to weigh out whether or not you can do it. Is it doable? Is it possible? Can I achieve it with the resources that I have available at this point in time to be able to do what I got to do? And again, this is how we think and just about any of us think in whatever we're doing. So, when we're looking at where we're going, what we're doing, we have that perspective to think in whatever term, to be prepared. And this is where I'm coming from, being prepared. Okay, start off the show is, what if the SETIs and the Sasquatches were actually zombies from another era of time? Now, what if that was real? What if that is true? I'm not saying it is, but what if it is? Okay, we want to head up north. A lot of people want to, I'm going north. I'm getting away from all this shit. I'm going off grid. I'm going north, and I'm just going north. Okay. What if that contingency is there? How are you going to deal with it? What are you going to do? How are you going to defend against a nation of zombies? I'm saying this not that it exists, and I'm not saying that to be sci-fi-ish. I'm just saying, what if? What if you go, and again, I'm not trying to take away your hope either. I don't want you to get discouraged. Shit, they might have them up north. Hell, there goes that idea. What am I going to do now? I don't want you to think that way. That's the easy way to think. But what if you got to go that way? Okay. Well, biology is biology. Doesn't matter how you cut it. Things that bleed can die. Pretty simple. You know, that's how I think of things. If you can bleed, you can die. If I bleed, I can die. So my next thought would be, okay, then I would need something powerful enough to stop something that's already dead. So how do I stop something that's already dead? So then I've got options. Destroy the genetic code, electrify it so that it becomes completely, you know, done. Remove its head, blow out its brains, create explosives that could render any dead to stay dead. You know, I'm thinking in these terms. I'm just expressing things. I'm not saying this is what, you know, you're going to have to do. I'm just throwing ideas out there. You know, creating maybe photonic weapons, maybe creating cymatic weapons, you know, sound weapons. You know, thoughts. So now I'm going to go somewhere with the perspective that I may be dealing with something of a zombification. Engineered DNA that has been altered. I may even think in another term. What if these zombies have been altered and are animated because they have an operating system? Then I may think in terms of an electromagnetic pulse or some kind of high-end electromagnetic field that can create high levels of heat as well as a magnetic pulse to disengage the operating system. Things like this is how I'm thinking. Because I may run into that contingency, so now I'm getting prepared. See, again, that's a hope, because now I have in my thoughts a means to survive, a means to succeed in surviving, a means to succeed in thriving. Now again, I'm saying this not because this may be real. I'm saying this because I want everybody to start to think in terms of hope. I may not be able to win this war, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be down for the count forever either. See what I'm saying? We may lose a battle, but you have to regroup and come back. And then there's another aspect of things. Things you may want to consider. That no matter what happens, is okay, for those of us who are believers, who believe in Christ, believe in Jesus, and believe in the second coming of Jesus, we have a hope already. Our hope is not on this planet. Our hope is not of this world. Our hope is in the next life, in the afterlife. You know, to go into His kingdom. He says He goes to prepare a mansion for us, a place for us in His Father's kingdom. That's our hope. So my contingency as well would be to help as many people as possible to see that hope, that that hope is also opened to them as well. That here is an opportunity for everybody to achieve that new hope. The hope that Jesus spoke about. Because if we don't look at that on any level, and you want to disregard that on any level, that's fine. And you can. I mean, I'm not saying it's up to you. You choose. But the way I'm seeing things right now, if the reset puts us back in the days of antiquity, and puts us back in the days where nanotechnology runs the planet on levels where it completely enslaves mankind. And let's think about this for 1 second. Okay, back in the days of Noah, okay, or in the days of Nimrod, mankind was completely enslaved under some sort of operating system because they didn't need to talk or speak and were able to construct this tower without saying a word. They all knew exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. So if we're back in those type of days, and we're heading back into those type of days, that would explain why the Georgia Guidestones and the Protocols of Zion and the new UN order were saying that they wanted 500 million or 600 million or a billion. Other than harvesting the people for their adrenochrome, they would need people to perhaps build these type of constructs. They would be better at it than perhaps the machines. Maybe. So when we're looking at all these things that are going on, and we're seeing all this, if you don't have that kind of hope that there's an afterlife and that we could be in the presence of God's kingdom or the Father's kingdom, then what do you have? I don't know. I really don't know. You know, if all you have is, you're going to be turned into a machine, you're going to be food for this, you're going to be possessed by some demon, you're going to be turned into an experiment, that's not a hell of a, that's not a good hope. My mind, I'm thinking, geez, really? Wow, what a choice. Death, 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 and death. Wow, sign me up. Give me a double dose. Just like the people that believe in reincarnation. They believe they're going to come back here. Who in the bloody hell would want to come back here? What's so great about here that makes you want to come back again? Oh, hey, I got my ass pounded really good the first time. Let me come back and do it again. Maybe they'll beat my ass even more. Yes, sign me up. That's my thought on that anyway. Who would want to come back? It's amazing how we have been beguiled and made to believe whatever tales of fantasy that the media has propagated. You know, amazing, just amazing. I mean, here we go. They're talking about now, when you die, they don't have to cremate you anymore. Oh, no, no, no. That's old technology. That takes way too long. Too many resources. Now they have what's called, alkaline hydrolysis. Alkaline hydrolysis is when they take your body after you're dead, after you've died from the injectables, after you've died from the programming and the operating system, after they've killed you, they put you in a chamber, load you up with water and alkaline metals, and run the temperatures at about 350 degrees Celsius, I think they said Celsius, or maybe Fahrenheit, and then basically dissolve the body through alkalosis so that all that's left is a slur. Solution of your body. And the idea here is to get you to believe that now you can be environmentally supportive of the environment when you die. You can now take your DNA and your proteins, which are all liquefied now, which would get filtered out of all the nano, to be then dumped back into the field, back into the earth, feeding Gaia. Oh, Gaia. So you can do your part. So you can do your part to remove the footprint that you've left behind. That you can now feed a tree. Now you can fertilize a field of corn. Imagine that, eating somebody's DNA, because the corn would absorb it. Ooh, yum, I got so-and-so's DNA going on, yeah. Turn you into a cannibal by way of injecting proteins into the earth. It's horrific when we see the mutilation of men and women on this planet. The mutilation that's going on, you know, that we see daily, children being beaten halfway to Mars just so they can excite the glandular, so they can harvest the adrenochrome. People being abused and assaulted because they believe in God. There's a story I read today in India where a Christian minister was preaching the gospel and they beat him up and drove him out of town. The military. This is about to get real. It's been getting real. It's just becoming more real every time they do a shutdown and a reload. Shutdown, reload, shutdown, reload. Can we take? Here's a privilege. Oh, take it away. Here's a privilege. Oh, take it away. Here's a privilege. Oh, we took it away. This is going on, and what I'm seeing and how I'm interpreting this is that what we're seeing is Christians are going to be assaulted. Just like Muslims were assaulted in China. Now Christians are going to be assaulted in other parts of the world, including Canada and America. Supposed Christian haven. I think what they figured out, they got as many Christians as they're going to get into the United States and Canada, and now they're ducks in a barrel, or fish in a barrel. We got the largest contingency of Christians in North America. They're going to be a lot easier to kill because we won't have to go looking for them now. Back in the days of the Anabaptists, I don't know if people realize who the Anabaptists were, but Anabaptists were the early believers. They were the ancestors of today's Mennonites. And the Anabaptists had left the Catholic Church. They had believed in Jesus, took the scriptural references, read the Bible, and that was their only guide, the Bible. Prayer, fellowship, and the Bible. So what would happen is they would get caught by the Roman hierarchy, by the Jesuits, by the Boys in Rome, Club of Rome, whatever. It wasn't called that at the time, but it's the same thing, pretty much. And then they would be persecuted. They would be told that they would either convert back to Catholicism and follow the Whore of Babylon, or they would be executed some way, somehow. And these people died for their faith. They died. They'd rather die than convert to whatever bullshit of the day. And I do sometimes think we're going to deal with that as well. We're going to deal with the fact that one day we may be put in a position where we will have to make a final choice. Stay in this shithole. Agree to the new world horseshit. Become a perpetual slave. Or, worse yet, food for the elite, for the hierarchy. Or lose your life so that you might gain it in the next. That's what it might come to. And that's, believe it or not, that's a hope. That's not a bad hope, really, if you look at this correctly. Since there's nothing here left, it's all a shithole anyway. It's always been a shithole. It's just now, the shithole part is now manifesting. And manifesting in a very quick and rapid way. So when we're looking at this shithole, there's nothing really here to say, oh, this was such a great, wonderful place. Man, I'm going to really hate to leave this place. I laugh because I'm just reflecting while I'm saying this. It just seems like for every ounce of pleasure, there was 100 pounds of pain that followed some way, somewhere, somehow. And we get over these things, and then we have a tendency to forget some of the grief that we've been through, and then all we can remember are the good things, right? We're being positive. So that's part of the program, mind you, so that you continue in the illusion that they have manifested here. So the real hope, in my thinking anyhow, is the fact that we are going to go to a better place. My hope, again, as I stated, that we will come, while we are here together, we'll come up with better solutions. Solutions that can help us each survive. I always tell this joke or this story. A guy died, and afterward he died, he met an angelic host, and the host says, well, tomorrow we're going to give you an opportunity to make a choice. So the next day came, and the angelic host took him to hell. Again, this is a story, a sort of like a parable or a fable of a sort that has a point to be made. And there he saw three men chained to a chair, chained to a floor. They each had these large spoons where they are able to reach into a pot of soup, and when they would bring the spoon back to their mouth, by the time it got there, they would spill it. So these three men were in constant sorrow because they couldn't consume the soup. So the next day, the angelic host took him to another spot in heaven. And meanwhile, these three guys were also chained to a chair. But the difference was they were all laughing. They were having a party. Yay! So what was happening was they figured out if they take the spoon and feed the other guy then could take the spoon and feed him. And they could all take turns feeding each other and everybody all could enjoy the fruits of the soup. And this is, again, just a presentation about hope and solutions and how if we create these solutions for each other, we all benefit. We all benefit. And if somebody has an idea that can improve upon whatever you've created, it's not about competition, it's more about complementary. Because the whole idea is to continue in whatever form or fashion to help each other so that we can get through this. I believe that the ark that we're needing today is similar to the ark that Noah had in order to go through this. That ark is each other. We're that linchpin to each other. So that's, again, and I'm trying to hopefully get this going because we are seeing so much bullshit. It can depress anybody. I get depressed. I wake up depressed every day thinking I'm another day in paradise. And then my day unfolds. And then I get to see what manifests in the day. And then, like I said, I just was in a 3-hour conference. And so there was a lot of people there that were curious, intrigued, desiring answers. Wanted to know what to do, how to do it. And when we're looking at things as well, we have to be very pragmatic. Not looking at things as the way they saw them 20 and 30 years ago. 20 and 30 years ago, we didn't have these towers like we have today. 20 or 30 years ago, we weren't even talking about nano bioengineered genetics that are being now introduced into the genetic code via vaccination. May have been going on, but it wasn't like it is now, where everybody's lining up to go to a clinic. We have to have a reality check in the here and now and what we're dealing with. We're dealing with some huge, major assaults. Genetic assault, nano assault, AI assault, tower assault with frequencies, smart dust assault, smart meter assault, you know. The list goes on. Pharmacopoeia assault, genetic engineering of the food supply, food shortages, economic assault. We are being hit with a lot of different things, and we're not being hit with one or two. We're being hit with all that I just mentioned all at the same time, at different levels, at different stages. So it's important, very important, that you have a full scope and a measure of what you're really dealing with. Dealing with the stupid people is part of the stress and the depression that we deal with because part of it is a form of mourning because these people are just stupid and have fallen for it and you know they're going to die. A year and a half or so, they'll be dead. Maybe a year. And so this in it of itself is not a happy concept. Well, you know, people you know, friends you've made, people that you've come acquainted with, in about a year may not be around. They may be put in a container of an alkaline solution, dissolved, and then put into a field somewhere. Because this is going to be more humane. This is going to be more earth-friendly, resource-efficient. Think about that. So like I said, we are dealing with a lot of things. This is why I started off with the show the way I did. Presenting a possible problem. And then from there, going into a hope to think in terms of what to do if you had that contingency. Think of this too in another way. Think of this as well. What if you're out there in the middle of nowhere and something goes wrong with your machine that you're using to travel with, or you're out in the middle of somewhere? Chances are you'd have tools on hand. You'll have different spare parts just in case, so that if something does go wrong, you'll try to have, in some form or fashion, have what you need on hand for a possible contingency that could go wrong. This is the whole idea of what I'm saying here. To be thinking in those terms, in how you prepare. I had an email today and from Australia, and they wanted me to talk about prepping. The biggest key to prepping is understand your environment, understand where you plan on being in an environment, and what that environment is going to need in order for you to survive or thrive in that environment. That's the three biggest keys. Number one, the biggest thing you're going to need is water, more than anything. Because without water, you can't grow anything. Without water, you can't hydrate yourself. Without water, you can't clean yourself. Without water, you can't produce anything. Water should be a priority. Food also should be a priority. And the food that you are going to stockpile need to be as clean as possible. Soy-free, canola-free, artificial and natural flavor-free, metal-free, you know, GMO as free as possible. And if you can't get around that, then you need to carry stuff with you to neutralize any possible side effect that eating a GMO food will cause. Until you can get established in growing your own different types of food. Because you have to sit there and think now, if you're eating something that has these contaminants and you get a cancer as a result of eating these things, how are you going to treat the cancer? What do you have on hand that can take care of the cancer? See, or let's say it causes a digestive disorder, a damaging to your intestinal tract, for instance. How are you going to fix it if you're in an environment where you don't have access to a health food store or to a supply store where you can get what you need? So that's another thing you have to consider when you're buying whatever you're buying. Remember, organ meats, they're not really a good idea because they are loaded with nano poisoning. They're loaded with soy, glyphosates, pesticides, smart dust. Whatever they fed that animal will be in those organs. Remember that. So that you may get away with it for a period of time, but if that should kick in and you're middle of nowhere and you don't have the means to deal with that, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. So these are some of the things, again, I would consider. Now, being down that you're in Australia, those of you in Australia listen to this, you may want to learn how to make explosives, because explosives can be utilized as well to capture game if you are in an area, especially where you have a lot of wildlife rolling around. Now, whether or not you do or not, it depends. It doesn't matter where you live, Canada, United States, whatever, because an explosive could be the difference between you being alive and you being food. Now, the simplest explosive you can make is from water. Hydrogen. Very explosive, very volatile. You just got to make sure you know what you're doing and how to handle it. But since you don't have any guns in Australia, this is something you may want to consider thinking about. After all, if you are out in an outback somewhere and you do have wildlife running around, I've seen some of this, these big giant spiders you have there. Now, again, I don't know if they're harmless or whatever, but still, they could be a source of food. Oh, look, barbecue spider. We'll put that on the Barbie. That kind of thing. So these are things that you might want to consider. You know, you might want to consider. Could make a difference between big game and little game. You know, in regard to water in Australia, you may want to start looking up how to pull up water from the atmosphere. I think I put a couple links on tonight's show to help those in these situations to be able to draw water from the air, creating some sort of condenser to collect the water so that you have it. So these are other things that I'm also presenting for you. If you are going to use canned goods, make sure they're sealed good. They're not dented, because if they're dented, they have to be used relatively soon, because they could oxidize and the lead seal around the can could seep into the food that you're eating. As long as they're airtight and not dented, they should last for quite some time. If you're going to get dry food, dry milk, dry eggs, dried meat, dried poultry, with a little water and a little heat, and you got a soup or you got a meal, because the proteins will rehydrate very quickly and expand. Same if you're buying gelatin, collagen, you know. Again, these are proteins, very good proteins. Powdered egg. You can take the powdered egg with the gelatin and make a broth. You have a 99% uptake of the protein, almost a complete absorption of the protein with the combination. Carbohydrates, again, you may want to start looking at dehydrated potato flakes, dehydrated carrot, dehydrated beet, dehydrated onion, dehydrated galangal, turmeric, anything root-based, because anything above the ground can be loaded and heavily loaded with nano-engineering of genetics. Now, if you got a greenhouse and you're growing stuff in the greenhouse, you may then want to, you know, venture out to other things. Try to keep the greenhouse as airtight as you can. If air circulation has to go in, you might want to create an ionic filter or electrostatic filter to destroy any nanoparticles that may come in through the air vent. So these are things that you can consider, you know. Water, if you can extract the water, you may want to filter it, depending where you are. If you're near a lake or stream, again, you may want to distill it using a Fresnel lens or a high-powered magnifying lens to create a distillation so that the steam will get collected into another container, and the shit left behind will be in the previous container. These are things you may want to consider. Power and hydro. You may want to look at generators that you can buy for cars. You may want to look at coils that you can buy for cars. You may want to look at batteries, solar, wind, water current, capacitors that can charge themselves. You may want to look at getting things that are made with DC power. So, because it's a lot easier to run a DC anything. You don't have to worry about inverting it or what, you know what I mean? You have it or converting it. I keep getting those contacts confused sometimes. So like I said, these are some of the things that you can do in the land down under with all the thunder. You know, the way they disarmed Australia is criminal. It's criminal. So again, just a little bit in regarding to what to do there. Again, this can be applied anywhere. This is all about, again, able to see problems, coming up with contingencies, coming up with ideas. In the Middle East, they're using drones to shock clouds in order to produce rain. Drone technology now to create rain. This is something you may want to look into, because if you have drones in Australia, this may also work there too. Something to consider. In Sweden right now, did you know they have zero outbreak? Zero. And did you know they're not wearing a mask? They're not shutting down. They're not doing anything. They're just living their life. Now, you have to wonder, how is it that Sweden has escaped the wrath of assassination or termination? Let me just go with termination. How is it that four presidents in Africa have died because they refused to accept death for their own people? How is it that the Haitian president died because he refused to inject his people with AstraZeneca? How is it that Sweden has no issue? Makes me just a little curious. Just a little bit. Think about that. Just think about that. You have a president in Tanzania conduct experiments by sending rotten shit, literally, to a lab in Europe, and the shit he sends them all tests positive for corona, COVID, SARS-CoV, deviant, Delta, Lambda, monkey virus. Did I forget anything? Yeah, did I forget any more with the lie being perpetuated? How is it that they killed him? He was a believer. Believed in God. They killed him. Because he refused to put his people through that insanity. And what did they replace him with? How many of you know the new puppet on the block? Like I said, makes you wonder. Somebody sent me something today about arranging a contract for the employers, and employer. If an employer or an education administrator wants your children to be injected, then they are to sign a contractual agreement with you that if anything goes wrong, that they would be liable for damages and expenses and lawsuits. This should be on everybody's door when they come knocking, asking if you want a vaccine, then you have them read this. So please read this and have them read it. Now, if they can't read, have somebody draw a cartoon. I had an idea. I can't draw to save my ass, but my idea was this. Have a big poster and have two parts to this poster. One part, do not enter, arm with an injection inside the arm. Okay. And then put below, do not enter, I had a rhyme with it. If you've been embedded, you may be shedded. And so put that there. The second one would be having a cartoon saying, if you haven't had the injection, free to enter. This way people can see before and after. And in the person getting the injection, showing all kinds of things shedding. Exosomes, nano programming, coded nucleotide, mRNA, encoded proteins, encoded DNA, encoded frequency codes, all kinds of stuff shedding, and then showing that the shedding is jumping on a person. And the other person who isn't injected, showing that they are free and clear. Because what the mantra now is going to be, those of you who haven't been vaccinated are going to be spreading the corona, COVID, deviant, SARS, COVID, Delta, Lambda, monkey virus. Because this is where we're at now. So we have these cartoon posters, and they're placated all over the doors of your homes and your cars, storefronts. I think that would be so cool. The reason why I'm saying a cartoon is because I have two signs on my door. Two signs. I have had to ask 11 people to leave my shop because they didn't read. Can't read. Two young women came in today. I said, have you been injected? She says, I've got two of them. I said, well, you have to step outside. He said, well, I've been injected. I said, that's why you're stepping outside, because you're shedding. Well, I don't want to shop in your effing store anyway. Okay, no problem. You know, it didn't break my heart. See ya. Get out. You know. People are telling me all the time, more people should do what I'm doing. Well, more people, it's not about more people should do it. Everybody should do it. If you're saying this, you should be doing it. If you really believe that these injections are causing problems, then you should have the same attitude. See, this has been the problem with the movement in Canada and the States and everywhere else. We got people saying that this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. But nobody's really doing anything to complement or to corroborate what everyone's saying. If everybody was doing this, I guarantee you most of these people would not be lining up to get the injection. Just my thought. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it still would happen. Who knows? But anyway, we got these policies that you can now download and you can post at your homes, at your place of work, at the schools. If you have a school teacher, say your kid needs to be injected. Well, fine. Sign this. Then if my kid dies, I own your house. I own you. Well, I don't have to sign that. Well, then don't tell me what to do with my kid. See, we better have that attitude. Better have that attitude. All right, I think I'm going to cut it there. I always say at the end of these shows, you know, go read the gospel. Go read what Jesus had to say. Go look at the new hope, the new understanding, the new, you know, the next level of hope. You might find it intriguing. You may not, but you might. You won't know until you go and read it. Read the Gospels. Read the letters. Read Revelation. I was talking tonight, and we're talking about the Bible and the prophecies and how the prophecies are the script. This is the go-to script that the globalists are using. This is it. This is what they're using. This is what they're bringing into manifestation. This is what you need to pay attention to, in my humble opinion. So check it out, read it, you know, learn as much as you can. This is no different than any other book you've read. Mathematics, science, philosophy, history, whatever. Newspapers, magazines, journals. This is another book of data that may be really important and data that may inspire a real hope in you. Just my thinking. All right. As well, on my site, there are people that are trying to help you in any way they can. I think everybody needs to be supported. It's doing what they can to help you out. And all that being said, if you do not have any money because you're broke, you're poor, destituted, whatever, then my encouragement would be for you to take care of yourself. Feed yourself, get back on your feet any way you can. Maybe you can corroborate with other people to help establish something new. You never know. Okay, but again, share the information. If you got no money, don't worry about it. Share it. Be a blessing to somebody by sharing. If you feel this has been beneficial to you, maybe it might benefit somebody else. Just an idea. So you got Liberty Channel, you got Diana Spingola, you got Catherine, you got Fiona, you got Three Hearts Church, you got Yanni, you got Shy, you got Ty, you got Brian, you got myself. Anybody you want to help, please feel free to do so. All kinds of information. Again, you know, do what you can. Read, learn what you can, develop what you can. It will go a long way. Alrighty, as I always state at the end of these shows, we are still here by the grace of God. Remember that. So until the next segment, to your health, take care.